Welcome to the deep dive. You know, some roles, they seem quite straightforward on the surface, but when you look closer, well, they hide immense complexity, profound impact. Today, we're doing a deep dive into something absolutely essential, but often, really quite underestimated, what it's actually like being a carer. Our mission here is to move past those common perceptions, you know, the stereotypes, and really shed light on the multifaceted, intellectually demanding, and emotionally rich nature of this profession. We'll be drawing on insights from a really interesting article looking at home carers here in the UK.
Absolutely. And, you know, understanding the true depth of caregiving, it's just more crucial than ever. It really is a foundational pillar of society. It quietly holds up communities, but it's full scope. Often completely overlooked. We're talking about a role that deeply affects millions, often in ways we just don't see.
Indeed. And when you say millions, well, that's no exaggeration. The numbers themselves, they're quite something. Our source material points out, back in 2018, over 800,000 people were employed as care assistants across the UK. And then if you zoom in, say, somewhere like Hackney in London, you find over 18,000 unpaid carers.
18,000.
Yeah, that's more than 6% of Hackney's whole population, according to Hackney Health Watch. People dedicating their time, unpaid, caring for friends, family. Now, you put that alongside the 2011 census data for Hackney. It showed 14.6% of residents, that's what, 35,709 people identified as disabled or having long-term limiting illnesses?
Significant numbers.
Right. And this brings us to what the article calls the Hackney paradox, because Hackney, it's often seen as one of London's youngest, most vibrant boroughs.
Yes, that's the perception.
But these stats, they reveal this really significant proportion of residents deeply involved in care, either needing it or providing it. It really makes you think, doesn't it? What does that paradox tell us about our cities and maybe the hidden needs within them?
That's such a critical point. That Hackney paradox, It's not just an interesting statistic. It's really revealing about the hidden needs, even in our most dynamic places. It forces us to sort of question our assumptions about where care is really concentrated. And it highlights how important it is to look past the surface demographics. These numbers, they just underscore that caregiving is, well, it's a widespread necessity. It's integral to how society actually functions. And it's interesting, like the source mentions, even an older BuzzFeed article from 2015, the feelings about caregiving described then, they still pretty much hold true today.
Yeah, that's striking.
It really signals that the core challenges, the themes in this work, they are remarkably persistent.
That persistence, it leads us to a really fascinating question, I think. What truly makes just caring one of the most intellectually and emotionally demanding jobs out there? Because, as you say, it goes so far beyond being a helper or, like the article says, just making people cups of tea.
Yeah.
A core requirement, something non-negotiable for carers, is what the article calls mindfulness. And this isn't just some trendy buzzword here. It's about constant active vigilance. What does that actually mean in practice?
Well, it means this acute awareness of your surroundings, yes, but crucially of the client's state. Always.
Yeah.
It means constantly scanning for subtle changes, having a really robust working knowledge of safeguarding protocols, and critically, trusting your intuition, your gut feeling.
Right.
We're talking specific vital actions like meticulously checking skin integrity, looking for redness, brakes to prevent pressure injuries, which can escalate so quickly, or noticing those really subtle signs that might point to an internal infection, like a UTI, sometimes even before the client can clearly say they feel unwell. So every single visit, it's not just about ticking off tasks. It's an ongoing, highly detailed assessment every time.
That level of constant observation, it sounds incredibly demanding. And this holistic assessment, it feeds right into understanding the sheer complexity of the role. The article uses a framework many of you will know, the biopsychosocial model. It references Derek, who's a co-founder of Sunday Care Therapy and an occupational therapist. He uses activity analysis to break tasks down. And this model, as you know, it explains the intricate connection between biology or physical health, psychology, coping skills, self-esteem, and social justice, our relationship with the wider world.
Exactly. And what's really illuminating is how carers, they don't just touch on one of these areas. They're deeply woven into all three, often simultaneously. Let's take something that seems, well, pretty straightforward, like getting dressed in the morning. Biologically, the carer is right there, physically assisting. Helping with movement, arms, legs, maybe through quite large ranges of motion, perhaps managing complex things like compression stockings or support garments. Psychologically, being dressed, it changes everything about a person's mood, their sense of self-worth, their readiness to face the day. It's fundamental to identity and dignity.
Absolutely.
And then, socially, being dressed allows interaction with society, even if that's just a Zoom call from the living room or feeling ready to see family who might visit. What's so compelling here is how this seemingly simple task just reveals the profound impact carers have on every single aspect of a person's well-being. Every interaction, it becomes an opportunity for what the article really aptly calls therapeutic interventions.
Okay, so therapeutic interventions. Can you put a finer point on that? What might a specific intervention look like, say, within that dressing scenario?
Sure. Think about it like this. It goes beyond just the physical act. A carer might notice, say, a client seems hesitant about putting on a particular jumper. So the therapeutic intervention isn't just forcing it on. It's maybe gently exploring why. Is it uncomfortable? Does it not feel like them? Does it stir up a memory? This turns a routine task into, well, an act of emotional support, a validation. It fosters psychological well-being right there in the moment. It's an incredible integration, really, of all these different aspects of care.
That incredible integration, though, it also brings us right up against a really profound tension in the role. Because while care is so deeply personal, it absolutely must, at times, maintain crucial professional boundaries. The article talks about this balance. It's natural, I mean, it's essential, really, to develop a working relationship with a client. Therapists even have a term for it, right? The therapeutic use of self. It's part of models like the intentional relationship model. And carers use empathy, problem solving constantly just to connect, especially if they're working with someone who's nonverbal or perhaps experiencing symptoms of dementia. That takes immense skill.
It does. But this raises a really, really important point about the huge emotional challenge carers face. It's that inherent risk, you know, of becoming too attached.
Right.
While that strong working relationship is vital for good care, blurring those professional lines, well, it can lead to massive emotional implications for the carer themselves. Especially if a client's situation changes. Maybe they move to a different service, or tragically, if they pass away.
That must be incredibly difficult.
It really is. And it just stresses how crucial it is for carers to actively learn how to switch off, to find that way to maintain a professional relationship that is still deeply compassionate. It's vital for their own resilience, their own well-being, so they can keep doing the job.
Absolutely. So beyond just responding to immediate needs, something often missed is the profound, proactive role carers play in holistic prevention. This isn't just about reacting when something goes wrong. It's about trying to prevent problems before they even start. How does this proactive, holistic view change the game in care?
Well, when we say holistic, we mean looking at the person as a whole, a complete individual. It covers all their needs, physical, mental, social, and importantly, even spiritual. The source uses a great example, a toilet call. Seems basic, right?
Mm.
But a carer doing this holistically isn't just assisting with the physical task. They're simultaneously assessing so much more. Their mental health, you know, are they unusually quiet today? Seem withdrawn or down? Their physical health, any new redness on the skin? A slight temperature? Are they walking differently? Socially, they're facilitating interaction. Helping someone with personal care might make them feel more comfortable seeing visitors later, more confident.
That makes sense.
And it even touches on spiritual aspects. The article gives the example of cultural washing practices after toileting. In many cultures, this is really important. By respecting and enabling these practices, carers are actively supporting clients in participating in their own spiritual daily life. It fosters dignity, continuity.
So this truly holistic view, it lets carers spot potential issues much quicker.
Exactly.
And then they can implement changes to prevent things getting worse, which is just incredibly valuable.
It shifts the whole dynamic from just reacting to being proactive.
Yeah.
It can fundamentally change a client's health trajectory.
And what this all means, as the source puts it so powerfully, is clear. Carers are saving lives and helping people live longer, more meaningful lives. Mm. That's not just a throwaway line. It's a deep insight into the real essence of their work, day in, day out.
And think beyond the immediate benefit to the individual. Consider the long-term impact of that proactive approach. By catching something small early, maybe a minor skin irritation before it becomes a serious infection, carers aren't just improving quality of life. They're also likely reducing the strain on hospitals, on emergency services. There's an often unseen economic value there, too.
That's a really important dimension. So to sort of wrap up our deep dive today, it's just abundantly clear, isn't it? The role of a carer is so much more complex, more intellectually demanding, more emotionally challenging, and profoundly more impactful than it's often given credit for. They're constantly vigilant, they're analytical problem solvers, they're empathetic communicators, they're essential guardians of well-being. Carers are absolutely vital to individual lives, yes, but also by extension to the health and the very fabric of our whole society.
And broadening that out, maybe a final thought for you to consider. Reflect on how this intricate, compassionate work doesn't just sustain individual lives. It actually shapes the fabric of our communities. By upholding dignity, by fostering connection where it might otherwise be lost. It really makes you think about the wider implications, doesn't it? About properly valuing and supporting this indispensable work, not just for the sake of those receiving care, vital as that is, but for the well-being of the carers themselves. It's something worth drawing on.